Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury, and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today, and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And England win on penalties. History in itself for this new team, new territory. The last eight of the World Cup, and who knows where beyond there.
I want to talk about England's kind of World Cup heroics back in 2018. I want to talk about the penalty shootout win, which is one of the greatest moments in England's recent history I can remember.
A man who brought so much laughter to so many. In the end, it appears Robin Williams couldn't conquer the darkness that overwhelmed him. The star was pronounced dead at his home in California.
I always thought that a celebrity death just couldn't affect me because I don't know the person until Robin Williams died.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
I just remember having this like huge feeling of dread come over me. Like, I just remember thinking, now Trump's in, he could just press the big red button.
Michael Jackson suffered cardiac arrest this afternoon. He was rushed to UCLA Medical Center.
I once went to a Q&A with a guy called John Landis, who's a film director, who directed the Blues Brothers. And he directed the Thriller video. He directed Black or White, I think, as well. He said people would see Michael Jackson in the street and just faint.
What?
Like, just from seeing him.
Jack Makes Happy Hour.
Hello guys, and welcome back to Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast. I'm joined by my good friend Stevie White and Robbie Knox. Lads, how are you?
Dreadful.
Why?
Good.
God, that's quite a con.
You're saying this, are you saying it's good that I'm dreadful?
Yeah, I'm happy because Stevie's sad.
Why are you dreadful, Stevie?
I've already texted you about it, but I've had one of the worst days of my life, and it's only 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay, all right. Robbie, don't, right? Because I know why he's had one of the worst days of his life. And go on, explain it, Stevie. But bear in mind that you did just describe this as one of the worst days of your life. So go on.
I've had a good life up to this point, so this is a bad day. I woke up nice and early, and I had quite a restless sleep, but felt all right. But I turned and noticed I'd knocked my phone on the floor in my sleep, and the screen is shattered. So that was a good start to the day. And I looked, and it's a £300 repair, which is brilliant.
One of the worst days of your life, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went to go and give blood, because I'm a really good person, as you know. And the woman struggled for 5 minutes after putting a needle in my arm to actually find a vein, so wriggled it around for a while, which hurts quite a lot, and then pulled it out and went, I can't find it, and then proceeded to say, now that you've got an open wound, we can't actually take blood from you.
What?
So you're going to have to wait 2 weeks.
That's bizarre.
So I walked for 40 minutes to give blood and then couldn't actually do it. Oh, and I missed a delivery whilst I was out, which I
this, none of that equates to being one of the worst days of your life, surely.
I've lived a good life.
Yeah, that's, I mean, wow. I mean, yeah. You've got some absolute horrors coming up in the future of life. I think a bad day is. But that's because it gets worse.
All of that happened within the first 2 hours of being awake.
Right, okay. Why can they not take blood if you've got an open wound?
I don't know. She didn't really explain it. She just handed me a little...
Hold on, I've got it in front of me.
Oh, maybe it's because, obviously, if you've got an open wound, like, you're prone to infection, that can get in the blood. But...
possibly.
But if she's just made the wound, you could be like, look, you've just done it. Like, if you take the blood now, the chances of me getting an infection between the time you just cut me, which was now, and the time you take the blood, which is now, is very minimal, no?
Sorry, possibly. Why is she cutting you? Why? How bad is she at doing this? She's not, to cause
she's
a wound?
She's put a needle in my arm, but I guess she then have to go over to the other arm. Maybe that, I don't know. But she just handed me a little leaflet which says arm care donor information, which is shit because you open it and it says thank you for coming to donate today, and I couldn't even fucking donate. So
why couldn't she find a vein?
I don't know.
Because of all your years of heroin abuse.
Right, okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the topic today. We were discussing in the group chat what we could actually do, and we've kind of... I thought it'd be a good idea to discuss where we were in kind of big moments in modern history. Is that the right term? Like, sort of like big moments in recent history, they say. Okay. So I've come up with a jingle. I think the jingle will explain... the concept more than I've just butchered the description. So here's the jingle. Get involved after I do it, obviously. You're not just going to know it straight away. Whether on your own or chilling with a friend, I want to know, where were you when? Right, we'll do it again and you boys can get in with the where were you when. Whether on your own or chilling with a friend, I want to know, where were you when?
Where were you when?
Because of the delay on the program that we used, that was the absolute shittest jingle I've ever.
Should I try one more time and we'll purposefully go slightly earlier?
Yep.
Honestly, I was kind of thrown because I thought you were going to play a jingle, not sing it.
I don't have that kind of production quality, Robin.
Yeah,
Add one.
I'm doing the jingle, Stevie. Whether on your own or chilling with a friend, I want to know.
Where were you when?
Where were you when?
Sorry. Oh, God's sake. Right, anyway.
When to go.
Basically, we're going to go through some of the biggest, the best, and the worst moments in modern history. We'll discuss each one and see if we can remember where we were when they each happened. Feel free to think along at home.
Along.
Yeah, inviting people to think. Right. Some of the moments are tragedies as well. So it's not going to be all lighthearted. But I think they'll be easier to remember where we were when the bad stuff happened. We'll start with one of the worst things to happen.
Start of a podcast. Start with one of the worst things to happen.
Well, we already have, haven't we?
Yeah.
We started with the worst day of my life.
So,
yeah.
Where were you guys when I smashed my phone?
God's sake. 9/11, September the 11th, 2001. But Fiona and I were debating like what is like been the biggest kind of like world tragedy to happen in our life. And I think 9/11 would be mine. Would it be yours, Robbie?
Yeah. I mean, I think on a sort of one-off day, I think. Although if you look at the number of people that have now died from COVID-19, it's much bigger, even in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true, actually. I didn't think of it that kind of angle. What were you doing when the towers fell? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was in an edit suite at Sky, working at Soccer AM. And we had up. There's a little telly in the corner. We watched it there. I don't think I really understood how serious it was at the time, because a few weeks beforehand, someone had flown a light aircraft and hit a building in Milan.
Oh.
But like not a terrorist attack. I think someone was just rubbish at flying. I think. Right. And so I thought at first a similar thing to that had just happened. It rears a sort of a terrorist element to it. And after the second one, I was like, oh, that's this is a bit suspicious here. Yeah,
I think when the second one went in, that was when people really started to like obviously freak out, because the first one, I mean, unlikely, but it could have just been, like you said, bad pilot, could have just been like an accident. But when that second one went in, that's when it all went a bit mental. Where were you, Stevie?
Well, we were 8, weren't we? So obviously quite young. My main memory of 9/11 is, obviously, I don't think I could understand it too much as an 8-year-old, knowing quite what the impact was. But the way I kind of knew how bad it was is, it's quite a strange way of knowing. But I was really good friends with a boy in my school called Trent, and his whole family were American. Right. And they were just distraught and torn apart from it. So I knew he took some time off school. And then when he was in, like, he wasn't the happiest after that. And he was a lovely boy. So I could kind of see through him how much it actually meant. But personally, I just thought it was obviously a fairly big event, but it couldn't affect me as an 8-year-old.
I
didn't really think too much of it.
I had a day off school that day. I remember it really well. I don't know. Well, obviously it sticks in my brain because it was a fucking massive event. But I had the day off school. I think I was ill. And I remember have you guys ever done these I don't know what they're called. They're like sequin art. So you get like a pin and you put it through a sequin and you push it into like a felt board, and each sequin's a different color and it makes a picture. Do you know what I'm on about?
No.
I think I know what you're talking about, as a, like a school thing, rather than, you didn't do it in your own time.
No, I did it in my own time.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
No, yeah, it's like it's called like sequin art. It's quite good for young kids and that. I think it's quite fun. But I was in bed at home and I was doing one of them, and my nan came in to my room. She sat on my bed. She had to like give me like a serious chat about it because I just didn't understand what it was. But pretty fucking mad, pretty fucking mad. And then I traveled to America 2 weeks after that, which was a bit crazy. I think it was two or 3 days. No, I don't know how quickly they opened up, like, because obviously all the American flights going to America were stopped. But I think shortly after that, I had to travel to America, where people say to me now, like, oh, like that must have been scary. But I think that was probably when security was probably peaking after that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, although there were still a few things going on, wasn't there? There's that shoe bomber bloke after that, and there's a guy had a bomb in his shoe. I can't remember his name now, and tried to set it off but failed.
Really, I don't remember that. Don't remember.
Yeah, there are a few little things, security alerts after that, and a few little things on. But yeah, I mean, I guess it is a safer time. It's weird that, like, how different it was. Like in America, I don't think over here, but in America before 9/11, people could like walk up to the gate to say goodbye to friends,
right?
If you're doing like domestic flights in America, and that, it wasn't, you could just like wander around an airport. But now, obviously, there's a very, very precise barrier.
You can imagine it now. Security is so tight. Let's move on from that and go to another American moment when Obama won the election, which was obviously big news. Robbie, where were you when Obama won the election?
I was in New York, which was awesome.
Wow.
So I was out there visiting a couple of friends with my wife as well, and we obviously wanted Obama to win because we were mental. And we were this guy I know, we were in some kind of, went to some members club with this guy I knew's brother or something like that, and they were all like, I think, money brokers or big sort of financial Wall Street people. Mm. So they obviously wanted John McCain to win because they're selfish. they were like the only people in New York who wanted John McCain to win. And we were just drunk in this members club, and it became obvious that Obama was going to win, and they all got a bit annoyed, and they went home by about 10 sort of thing. So Bev and I just went across the road to this like proper dive bar type thing in this proper New York dive bar thing with a few just proper alcoholics just sat at the bar just drinking and like really sort of, you know, the kind of place like on a TV sort of that you see, like a guy just ordering whiskey after whiskey, that sort of stuff like that.
Amazing.
And it was amazing because they had that on the telly there. And when he came out to do his victory speech sort of thing, like that, everyone's going, shh, be quiet, just, it was amazing, just everyone just sat around watching it in a bar. It was brilliant, absolutely
what
brilliant.
What a moment that is to witness such big American history in America. This is probably a very stupid question, but I don't really know like states and stuff like that, but like when New York, were they kind of like predominantly Obama then?
Yeah. I believe so.
Well, did he win by a landslide?
I can't remember. I don't think it wasn't tight. It wasn't like that time when there was where they were having to recount or anything like that with some of the George Bush ones. I can't remember, to be honest, how much he won by, but there was no doubt about it. I don't think.
Yeah, this was 2008, this was. So, Stevie, we'd have been, what would we have been?
15.
Weird that you were kids when, like, it's so weird that you were eight when 9/11 was, because I was at work. Like,
That's crazy. Yeah. What were you doing, Stevie? Do you remember? Because I'll admit now, I don't remember it really, and I wish I appreciated how big of a moment it was, like looking back. But I just don't. I remember Obama running for the second term when he beat Mitt Romney. Was it? I think it was Mitt Romney, wasn't it? He beat him. Mitt Romney, by the way, is the most American name ever, isn't it? Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it's pretty American.
That's mad. What were you doing, Stevie?
I'm exactly the same. The only memory, I don't have a memory of the exact day it happened, but I just remember loads of people at my school buzzing over it. But then I was just like, it doesn't really mean much to us. Again, I think anything American in my mind is a bit like, it doesn't really affect my life.
Yeah, but what about Trump then?
Well, that's just, I just found that comedic rather than it affecting. I just thought that was a kind of funny situation, couldn't believe it, but then we kind of trumped him after that anyway, didn't we?
What you found it funny when he was announced the winner?
Well, it was just like a comedic moment really for English people. Like, we looked at it going, how the fuck has that happened? But then we did Brexit and got Boris Johnson in, so we followed suit.
I remember this was 2016, so at the time when I was in Manchester when it was announced that Trump had won the election, and I remember the night before trying to stay up to watch it when all the votes were coming in, and I remember Twitter going mental, so obviously I'm not a big like politics head guy, like I don't really know what's going on. When the votes come in, some people can almost judge it, can't they, and be like, oh, like they've won this state, which means like they have a 65% chance to win. And I was just like, I've got no idea. But I remember Twitter absolutely not buzzing, but like going mental over Trump's potential. That's all bullshit, because it was the other way around, wasn't it? Hillary looked to be winning it for a long time. Isn't that right, Robbie?
I can't remember.
Well, Hillary had more votes, didn't she?
Right, yeah.
Overall, I think she got the more votes, but based on areas, he's the one who won it. I know it was something quite strange about it that pissed people off.
That's how I remember it. I was in a hotel room in Manchester. I was about to go to sleep. Hillary was winning by quite some way. I think all like the southern states and the more Trump states hadn't been announced yet, but it looked like Hillary was going to win by a lot. So I went to sleep and I was just like, I can sort of like sleep a bit easier now. I know she's like the lesser of two evils, but still. And then I woke up, put the news on straight away, saw that Trump had won. And I don't know why, whether or not I was just sucked into kind of like the media and stuff like that, but I just remember having this like huge feeling of dread come over me, like what the fuck is like gonna happen in the world now. Like I just remember thinking, now Trump's in, he could just press the big red button. I literally just saw him as like this Dr. Evil guy that's in charge. What about you?
Well, it was a weird one for me because I had a tweet that did really well because of it. So I did a tweet during the night. I woke up in the night and I thought, I'll turn on the telly. It was about 4 a.m. or something. I watched it for a bit and I did a sort of tweet and a few tweets. One of them just said, it was something like, typical America, we do Brexit and they have to go bigger, right? So it was a good tweet because it wasn't something that would annoy anyone. It wasn't like anti anything. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just a sort of acknowledgement that it was a bit mental. And I went back to bed and I got up and this thing had gone a bit mad and was going around. It was picked up in all those you know, those best political tweet articles in BuzzFeed and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it got to mid-afternoon, and I got like loads of messages going, Robbie, you're on the news. And this tweet was like, people were saying your tweet's on the news, right, on BBC News.
What?
So I went to BBC. I thought I'll rewind it. I thought, all right, so they must have done like a collection of like the funniest tweets of the night or something like that. But it wasn't. Yeah. They had like three tweets about the election in this thing. One of them was from like Lord Ashcroft. One of them was from me, and one of them was from Donald Trump. So it was like, it's like they went, well, let's put Robbie up as the official other side to Donald Trump. So, it was a bit weird.
Here's what Trump from Soccer AM had to say.
Yeah, but I mean, it was after that. It was like this sort of slightly weird. Before I was doing YouTube or anything like that sort of thing, so I wasn't really doing anything in the public eye. So it wasn't like anyone would know who I was. It was just like a random bloke has written a tweet that we like.
Man.
So yeah, that was weird.
That is mad. What were your initial feelings towards him winning? Like, were you worried?
I wasn't. I didn't think there was going to be a nuclear war, but right. I thought. But I was worried for. No, I was worried for, probably the wrong word. I was concerned for people who are vulnerable in America and who might be like sort of Mexicans, people like that sort of thing, or people who might come on the wrong side of his policies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Certain minorities, perhaps,
yeah,
maybe.
I'd say so. But I mean, it's weird, these sort of big political moments, because the other one, the big one, and this will be going back to when you were very young, was when I grew up, we had a conservative government. Margaret Thatcher was prime minister when I was born, I think. And that all the way through my childhood, we had one government all the way through. And it was when I was at uni that New Labour came along. And whatever your sort of political persuasion, by the end of sort of the Tory government at the time, there were quite a lot of people that everyone hated.
Yeah.
Like sort of Michael Portillo and all things like that. And then that was a sort of weird night where Labour destroyed them. Michael Portillo lost his seat and all that. That was a really sort of weird night because it was the first time there'd ever been a change of government in my entire life.
Oh, really?
Like, wow, this is really weird. Yeah, that was a...
What year was that?
Thing. 96 or 97?
Oh, yeah, I've got no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
But as far as political sort of... Big moments go. I think in my lifetime, Trump winning the election and it being announced that Brexit had won. Where were you when you found out that?
I was at home. Yeah,
just at home. What about you, Stevie? Were you anywhere special?
I was also just at home. Wasn't the most exciting day.
You'd have been cracking out the champagne though, if you have any less French people in there, wouldn't you?
I do remember hearing a lot of fireworks that night and just thinking, why are people celebrating this?
I was at Glastonbury Festival, the first and only time I've been, and I remember the mood being pretty somber there, but then I'd imagine it would have been, because it's quite a left-wing festival, would that be right to say? Quite a liberal festival?
Yeah, I'd
say so. I've said this before, and feel free to shoot me down, as you're both a bit smarter than I am, for sure, but do you think, because I was an idiot, I'll hold my hands up now and say I just didn't vote. Like, I know that's pretty shit to admit for someone who feels so strongly about staying in the EU, but I didn't vote because I was literally at Glastonbury Festival and I didn't register to do the postal vote thing. Now, I said to Fiona once, do you think that part of the reason why the vote was when it was is because they knew that like 100,000 kind of like probably liberal people are going to be stuck in a field in the middle of nowhere? Like, do you think that would have had anything to do with it or not?
I couldn't imagine. Yeah. So like that's a bit far-fetched, I think.
I think young people vote less than old people, don't they? I mean, in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why pensioners sort of get whatever they want. It's because they're the ones who always go out and vote.
Yeah, true. All right, we'll lift the mood a little bit now, and we're going to talk about something. Doesn't really affect you, Robbie, as I know you're a Scotland fan. But let's talk about. I want to talk about England's kind of World Cup heroics back in 2018. I want to talk about the penalty shootout win, which is one of the greatest moments in England's recent history I can remember, actually fucking winning one of them bastards, and the quarterfinal day against Sweden, which was an incredible day. We will also just skim over the Croatia semi-final loss, but Robbie, what I want to know first of all, before me and Stevie give our perspectives, what was it like for you? Because you support Scotland, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not a anyone but England, Scotland fan, having lived in England most of my life. Yeah. So I want England to do well because it's a much more exciting place during a World Cup when England are doing well. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Ideal situation for me would be for England to get to the final and lose on penalties to Germany. But I'm happy to accept anything in between those two spectrums, yeah.
Well, so hang on. So if England did realistically get to a World Cup final against, let's say Germany, you wouldn't want them to win?
No, I'll tell you why. Because I always start this tournament wanting England to win. But I've learned over time that what happens is, by the time you get to knockout stages, it's not enough for England to be winning. England fans have to be telling me how shit Scotland are as well. And it's that it's that thing that goes. I remember in Euro 96, I remember going to the pub with an Irish guy for the England-Germany, was it? Yeah, wasn't it? The semi-final, the penalties there. And at the start of the game, we were like, oh, no, we definitely want England to get through and all this and do well and all this. And by the end of it, we're like, hey, Germany. if ever in England is nice to me, then I'm happy for you to win it. But I know you won't be. I know what will happen. I know you'll get a bit giddy and you'll start saying of Scotland.
Actually, I recall during England's decent run in 2018, all the other sort of nations with Ireland, Wales and Scotland, All you lads and ladies were changing your Twitter profile pictures to the nation's flag of whoever we were against.
I wasn't. Don't love me.
Yeah, no, that was a massive thing on Twitter. And I just didn't get it. Like, just because your team's not even in the competition, why are you that adamant that England can't win?
Football banter is very, very weird because I've said this before. I'll say it again. Like when West Ham fans take the piss out of Tottenham for exiting the Champions League, that absolutely baffles me because West Ham never even qualified for the Champions League. So how are they in a position to go, ha ha, you just lost in it? Because it's I'll reuse a joke I've used before, but it's like taking the piss out of your mate for being dumped by like Margot Robbie. It's like, well, you've never even dated her, so like I don't understand the banter there. So when
literally just someone looking for happiness in someone else's downfall.
Just summed up football though.
Well, I've just summed up our friendship as well.
The whole concept's weird, isn't it? Like, the people I randomly decided I liked the best when I was 10 beat the people you randomly decided when you were 10.
Yeah, we have literally no input on the game. It's mad. Yeah. Stevie, where were you when England won that famous penalty shootout against Colombia?
I was in the sweatiest pub I think I've ever been in my life. I was given the day off work. I requested that I didn't have to go in, and my manager was a delight and said I didn't have to. Big up Liz. And then we trounced around for a pub to go and watch the gaming because it was impossible to find anywhere that actually had seats with reasonable view. And we found this pub, and we had to get there about an hour early to actually get some seats. And their aircon was broken, and we were all just in there pouring sweat. And I specifically remember that game because I remember moaning about how dirty they were as a team.
Yeah.
And then all I could see online is like their fans saying how bad we were. And I found that a bit mental.
No. Yeah, that's not even from a place of being biased. Like they were, they were disgustingly dirty. Yeah, and see, and Robbie says that, and he doesn't even support England. So fuck you, Colombians. Fuck you.
I remember.
I didn't say fuck you, Colombians. Just to be clear.
I remember having a lot of hatred for Yerry Mina as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was just scoring loads that tournament, wasn't he? From centre back, is he the one that equalised as well?
Yeah, and I remember him just being really dirty. Like it, the whole game just bothered me. But yeah. Then winning is obviously a positive. But by the end of that, you couldn't get to the bar to get a drink either. I remember some places were charging entry just to go and watch the game.
Yeah, but I mean, you would, wouldn't you? Like I was watching it in the Murderers, which is where I watched every one of England's games. And the when they equalise in the last minute, which was so England, wasn't it? It was so England. I was almost in tears. I get so sort of wrapped up in the whole World Cup. And but when we did win, I got carried out by a load of random guys, but in a good way, not like carried out.
Get rid of him.
Okay. No, like I jumped up, and because you couldn't move, there was no space. Someone was just lifting me. I ended up just making my way out of the pub and just absolutely going mad. And then, obviously, that moment I think was only topped by the quarterfinal win against Sweden, which I think fell on a Saturday, did it not?
It was definitely, yeah, I think
I can't
it was.
Remember.
It was definitely a weekend day because I was camping.
Yeah.
We went this thing called Dad Camp every year where me and a few friends go away with kids.
Oh, amazing!
Wives,
so you didn't watch it then?
Oh no, we watched it. We went to a pub and the kids just sat in the corner while we watched football and got drunk.
Yeah, it was on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's that would be right.
Yeah, it was a Sunday. I've just had a look.
Wow! See, when I think of that now, I just. For me, that's a Saturday, just because it would have been one hell of a party. Like you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would have thought it was a Saturday.
Yeah, any day England won was a Saturday.
Yeah, when we won that, and we was in the first semi final since 1990, mate. Norwich was like absolutely pumping. Like we was just walking down the street, just dancing with random groups, like police officers. Like there was some lad who lives in this like top floor flat that we walked past. He had a fake World Cup trophy and he was just hanging it out the window. Everyone just going absolutely mental. I'd go to as far as to say that Sweden quarterfinal is probably one of the best days of my life.
Wow.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Come on then, let's talk about it. Croatia semi-final loss. Where were you, Stevie?
I was at home.
This one I've got too much to talk about. It was a great day.
It was your birthday, wasn't it?
Yep, sarcastically a great day. 11th of July, it was a Wednesday, my birthday. I thought this is a brilliant day. Perfect weather as well. We went to Thorpe Park. Had an amazing day at Thorpe Park. Left early so that I could get back to watch the game.
Oh, actually, you've said this on a podcast recently, haven't
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just still pissed off about it. And today's an even worse day to think about it. So it's all going well.
Why did we speak about this in a podcast before?
Was it the restaurant one or something? Was it? Did you have a nice meal that day or something?
Yeah, it probably was. And you
maybe. Oh, no. Well, Domino's. We talked about Domino's. So it might have been. Because I ordered Domino's as we got home from Thorpe Park to watch with the game.
And you got heat stroke, didn't you?
Heat stroke died. We were meant to go out that night. I decided to just go to bed. And then I was off work for a couple of days because I was that ill.
So did that mean you missed the game then?
No, I sat and watched the game. I was just there pouring sweat and feeling sad and
deflated.
Sounds
like you were sweaty for quite a lot of these England games.
How does it compare the day where you were? Was the day where you were a bit sweaty and couldn't enjoy a game fully, was that worse than the day when your parcel didn't turn up until a bit later? How did it fall in the worst days of your life?
Oh yeah. Well, I'd say they're both in my top three.
Right.
I remember going into the Croatia game like very pessimistic. Like I was like, we are not going to beat.
Really?
Croatia. Yeah. Like because a lot of my mates were like, we'll do them. I was like, I don't think we will. And then I got pissed. Was watching it in the Murderers. It was half time. Dying for a piss. But I couldn't get to the toilet, so I left the Murderers. Anyone will know, that knows Norwich will know the Bell is just around the corner. So I just thought, I'll pop into the Bell. So I went in the Bell, and I was like pretty pissed at this point. And I was walking past these two lads, and they were like, Jack, mate. They were like, oh, like we're buzzing. What do you think of the game? And I went, we're through to the final, lads. See you in the final. And I was so arrogant about it, so cocky. And then I got back, and we'd lost 2-1. That was it's just a story of England, story of England's life. But from football, we'll move on to celebrity deaths. What is
there a jingle for that?
No, I was trying to think of one on the spot.
You could have done it like blankety blank.
No, not going to do it. That's what's the biggest celebrity death you recall in your life, Robbie?
Oh, I mean, that's a very weird question. Princess Diana was a big one. That got on the news.
Yeah, was that? That was
that got on the news.
Yeah, that was a big day. Big day out. Yeah.
Was that, what was that? 1997, was it, maybe?
97, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at uni at the time. It was in the summer holidays, though, so I was at home. I was working at Tesco's on my weekends and that. Yeah, I remember it being a bit... It's a bit weird, really. I predicted it, sort of. I can't remember if I've said this before. Well, I was working at Tesco's. I remember in the canteen, and she was dating Dodi Fayed, and I found it really funny that his name was Do Die, and he was going out with her.
Right.
So I remember, literally, 3 days beforehand, saying to some of the guys at work, isn't it weird that he's called, like, Do Die, isn't it? Like, if they both got killed... Then it could be the headline could be like Dodi does die and then they both die or something like that.
Oh,
and then like
God.
2 days later, they both die in this car crash. I came to work and they're standing there going, mate, did you kill Princess Diana? Because you were definitely talking about last week. I was going, no, I didn't. But, yeah, it's been a weird time.
I don't remember it. I was four.
You'd be very young, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was four. But I do have vague memories of going to my nan's house and my auntie being in tears, which... I pin to that. Did it not to run the risk of being distasteful here with this question, but did it really affect you much, Robbie, or was it just a bit like another?
No, I mean, it was like quite a big thing, and I remember like on the Isle of Sheppey, like people were putting flowers just anywhere. They were putting flowers around like the clock tower on Sheppey, sort of thing like that. So it was like the whole country was sort of getting involved in it. I don't think it affected me. I wasn't like in tears or anything like that. But
yeah,
I remember it being sort of quite a massive, obviously a massive thing that happened, and the funeral being enormous, and Elton John singing.
He sang "Candle in the Wind," didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote a new version for it as well.
Have you had any deaths that have affected you, celebrity wise, Robbie?
I don't know. No, again, none that I've been like in tears by. There's people that I'm gutted that they died. Quite recently, the singer of Fountains of Wayne died. That was a band I really enjoyed and went to see quite a few times. He died of coronavirus. And so that was like, that's a bit gutting. I guess I'm most of the, I mean, I think you'll get a bit later on where people of your sort of peer group start dying. Your sort of age group sort of died. Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit off, hopefully, most of the musicians when I was younger dying.
Fountains of Wayne did Stacey's Mum, didn't they?
They did, but that's the worst example of a Fountains of Wayne song. Yeah, I don't really like Stacey's Mum as a song particularly, but they did a lot of excellent songs.
Didn't realise that.
Yeah.
What about you, Stevie? Has any celebrity death affected you?
I always thought that a celebrity death just couldn't affect me because I don't know the person until Robin Williams died.
Yeah, that's one I've got down. That's what
that one. I felt like a bit of my childhood died, and it was just a little bit strange. I didn't cry or anything, but it just felt like my childhood was literally Flubber, Mrs. Doubtfire, like those kind of films, and it was just like that had just gone out of nowhere. Jumanji, like all those classics.
Proper sad, wasn't it? Proper sad.
But like things like Michael Jackson didn't affect me at all. So it's quite strange.
No, I'd say Michael Jackson's the biggest celebrity death that I think I remember in my life.
That was huge, yeah.
Yeah, massive. But I think I've got three that I think of. It's weird how to sort of define what I mean by affected me. But the three celebrity deaths that kind of like, yeah, I guess affected me. Robin Williams was up there. Mac Miller was one recently. That one really was scary because I think he was a similar age to me. And like Robbie said with the,
Fountains of Wayne, yeah.
Fountains of Wayne, yeah. Mac Miller was somebody that I listened to a lot. And like me and my friends used to go play Sunday League football and we used to have his albums on in the car, so that was a bit strange just knowing that he's not around anymore. And then I think the most recent one that was really hard to take was, and Stevie, you was the one who actually told me about it before I saw it on Twitter, but Kobe Bryant's death.
Yeah,
absolutely insane because of sort of like the gravitas of how massive he is as a sports icon. Like, well, he's probably in the top three basketball players of all time, isn't he? And to go in the manner that he did in such a tragic accident, it's like if somebody gets ill, there's a little bit of a run up to their death, so it doesn't really like hit you as hard when they go. But something like that, just it makes you really appreciate just how precious sort of life is. And I traveled to America, I think the day after actually, and just it felt like the whole country was like mourning. Like everywhere you went, people were. Had tributes to him and stuff like that. So yeah, absolutely mad. Where were you when you read that Michael Jackson had passed away?
I was at home, but I remember doing the same thing as I did with telling you about Kobe. With some of my, I think at sixth form, it was either the end of, I was been around that time. I think I was about 15, 16 when
you would have been the same as me, wouldn't you? Same year as me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the day after I had my leavers assembly.
So year 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember texting loads of friends straight away going, is this actually true? That's crazy. Mm. And then I say loads of friends, probably about three people, but and they were like, nah, you're joking. And I was like, fuck me. Like, that's such a big thing. Mm. But obviously his death's been a bit messed up since it happened as well. So there's a lot around that.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
Such a massive thing, wasn't it? Did you know the week before he died, Jackson's like solo albums sold around 10,000 copies. And the week after he died, they increased to 415,000. It's mad.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I was at Glastonbury.
Was you?
Yeah.
Did they make a big thing out of it at Glastonbury? I imagine they would have.
I can't remember. I remember the word spread quite quickly. I remember it was the evening, wasn't it? The news broke, I think.
Yeah.
And then I remember I going for a walk at like 8 a.m. the next morning, and there were T-shirts on sale saying I was at Glastonbury when Michael Jackson died.
Oh,
I was like, that's only been about 8 hours, mate. How'd you do that?
Fuck.
So that was a bit weird.
Hell.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was doing a bit of research on this, and in the top 75 positions on the US Billboard, Michael Jackson had 25 songs in the top 75 the week after he passed away. It's just like, wow. Michael Jackson fever pitch, wasn't it? Like, just everyone was playing his tunes. Do you know how much his family's made since his death?
No.
$2 billion.
That is crazy.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's nuts. Last thing I want to say on that before we move on is, you know him, Stevie. You know my friend Wellham?
Yeah.
It's really weird, right? Because he's the kind of person that goes through, like, infatuations with people. So, like, somebody might be, like, a fan of, like, I don't know, Beckham their whole life. He goes through, like, these, like, year stages where he just idolizes someone. And I remember at school, it was actually a bit weird, and it creeped us out a little bit, because he was... you know how, like, there's this kind of, like, weird thing in life where people always kind of respect people more once they die? Does that make sense? Wellham's like an exception to the rule here, but he was a massive, massive Heath Ledger fan way before he passed away, and then he passed away, and then he became like an Amy Winehouse fan, and we was like, that's so strange that, like, when she passed away, like, he's been infatuated with two people that have died. And then he started going through, like, Michael Jackson's back catalogue and just, like, really, like, blasting that out all the time and watching sort of Michael Jackson documentaries. And then he passed away. I'm not sure what order that was in, but that was a bit weird. That was a bit like your prediction, Robbie, with Diana.
I once went to a Q&A with a guy called John Landis, who's a film director, who directed The Blues Brothers. And it was a screening of The Blues Brothers, and he was doing a Q&A afterwards. There's only about 30 people there. And it was one of the best things I've ever been to. And he directed the Thriller video. He directed Black or White, I think, as well. And he said, people were asking him about Michael Jackson. He was saying, like, he said he's hung out with Michael Jackson and gone out on the town with Michael Jackson. He said it was like nothing he'd ever seen in his life. He said, like, because he said he's been out with, like, Steve Martin when he was, like, the biggest comedian in the world and all this. He says nothing came close. He said people would see Michael Jackson in the street and just faint.
What?
Like, just from seeing him. He said he saw both men and women come from seeing Michael Jackson.
What?
I don't know how he knows.
How do you see that? Yeah.
Yeah, but he said people would just lose it. He said people were just collapsing around the street. Just like, he said, honestly, the only thing I could compare it to is like walking around with Christ. He said people were just collapsing everywhere. It was mental. Absolutely.
Wow.
Mental.
That's crazy. What a life story that is.
Yeah,
absolutely. That is mad. I've got some bigger things that I want to go through, but I think we may save this for a part two, just because I find it quite interesting. All these kind of like moments in time. So if you guys want to stick around for a part two of this, we're gonna talk about things a lot. Some of them are a lot more lighthearted. I mean, we've got the birth of Twitter and Facebook and the internet. We'll probably go over Felix Baumgartner's free fall jump as well, which was interesting, as well as some not so nice things like the London riots and the coronavirus pandemic. So stick around for all that fun stuff. But before we finish, guys, today, what I want to do is I want to do a quick fire later or before, which is basically just higher or lower reinvented. I'm going to give you a moment in recent history, and I want you guys to work together to tell me whether or not the latter option was actually later or before. Does that make sense?
Brilliant.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Now, first of all, we are going to go, we're going to start a bit somber. We're going to start with Amy Winehouse's tragic passing. That was in July 2011.
Yeah.
What work together to tell me whether or not you think Ronaldo getting Wayne Rooney sent off was earlier or later than July 2011?
It was earlier, I would say.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Cause... Amy Winehouse died during my first FIFA tournament. I remember that.
Wow!
I remember when that was.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was weird.
The Ronaldo Rooney thing was 2006, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's much earlier. Yeah,
so because... you're going earlier, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, way earlier.
Yeah.
Correct. You pass. What about the nice release of The Dark Knight in the UK? Was it earlier or later than July 2006?
Oh, I have 2008 in my mind for that film, and I don't know why.
I've never seen it, so it's...
You've never seen The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight?
Nah. I saw my first Marvel film the other week. I saw Iron Man.
Oh, Marvel films are shit. Don't bother with them.
All right.
I have 2008 in my mind for Dark Knight, and I think it's because it came out the same year as Iron Man, which was also 2008. So I'm going to stick with that.
Stevie, you've got every date bang on so far. It's 2008, July 2008. What about Kate and William's wedding? Later or before?
Later.
I feel like that was more recent.
Got, have a stab at the year, Stevie. You seem to be getting them all right.
I'll go 2011.
2011.
He's got it. He's absolutely nailed it. Kate and William's wedding was April 2011.
It was around the time my daughter was born.
Oh, lovely. I was daily vlogging at the time. And I daily vlogged
vlogged the wedding?
No, this is the thing. I did a video about it, but it was just me watching it at home on the news.
Well, it must have been a good watch.
Now and then I get a weird thing, just a random Jackmate vlog video pop up in my recommended things on YouTube. I always watch them. It's always like a random weird thing. I got the other day, I got you on ITV News or something talking about being a YouTuber popped up.
Fucking hell. Don't bother with them, Robbie, honestly. Andy Murray's first Wimbledon win. Was it before April 2011 or after?
Oh.
I feel like that was after.
It was after as well.
Because he won two, didn't he? But one was only a couple of, three or four years ago.
You going
it
after?
Must have been. It was the year after Euros.
I think it might even have been that summer.
I
think it was. I think it was shortly after.
I think it was a year after.
When were the Euros?
2012. So I'd go 2013 Wimbledon.
You're bang on again.
Oh,
you're
I love
bang
tennis.
On again. It is July 2013. Stevie, if you get every year of this, I'm gonna just. It's gonna be one of the best days of my life. I know it's one of the worst days for you.
I won't now. this is becoming better. This is a good time.
I can tell you now. The next step here is the least amount of time between them. So this is going to be difficult. There's actually 2 months in this. Alex Ferguson retires. You surely will be able to work this one out, though.
Well, it's got to be after because Wimbledon's. Oh, it's the end of the season. Fuck. No, that would have been more May. It's got to be before.
Yeah, so it was end of season.
Yeah, before. It'll be a couple of months before.
Yeah, there we go. You used your logic there. It was May 2013. Oasis's last gig. Was it?
Oh, this one I wouldn't have a clue
before
on.
Before or after May 2013?
Was it at the Roundhouse? Do you know
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. But Robbie, I feel like you could be the saviour here.
I don't know when it was. I might have been there if it was a Roundhouse gig. I think that would have been before, because that would have been around 2009, 2010, I'd say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was around when I was in sick form, because I had a mate who loved them and I just didn't care that they'd broken up.
It was actually at the festival. That's where it was. Yeah. So, Robbie, you going before? You going 2009? The
before,
last gig was August 22nd, 2009. So you've got two more to go and you've completed the game. Robin Williams, we spoke about his tragic passing, but was it before or after 2009?
I think
it was after.
Yeah.
That was 2014.
2014, bang on. And then the last one to get 10 out of 10. I think it was 10 or 9. Leicester winning the league.
Oh, that was that 4 seasons ago now?
2016?
Hell, that was 2015, 2016 season? Yeah, 4 years.
You bang on, sirs. Give yourself a round of applause. You smashed it.
Woo!
Wasn't the hardest quiz in the world. Maybe I'll make a harder one for part 2.
Make them tighter next time, yeah.
Yeah. Right, there we go. That was the first episode of Where Were You When? Which, if you remember the jingle, it goes a little bit like this. Whether on your own or chilling with a friend, I want to know Where were you when?
Where were you when?
The delay is unbearable. This has been Jack Mate's Happy Hour podcast with my two brilliant co-hosts, Stevie White and Robbie Knox, Knox, Knox. We will see you in a few days for part two. And remember, feel free to think along at home. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Jack Mate's Happy Hour.